Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
How many of you are ready for the word? Everyone say, word. I got to tell you, I am so excited about this year's theme, My Father's House. Everyone say, some of you are quick, some of you are a bit slow. Everyone say, My Father's House. The theme for this year is My Father's House. But if I can be really honest, my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that as we move through 2020, that which is a theme today would become a revelation tomorrow. The theme today may become the revelation tomorrow. For a theme will motivate you, but a revelation will save you. A theme will provoke you, but a revelation will transform you. We don't need themes that promise much and deliver little, but rather we need revelations that lead us to a life that truly is the life that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. I don't know about you, that is the life that I want to live. That's the life I want to live. That's the life I want for my marriage. It's the life I want for my family. It's the life I want for each and every one of you, that you would step into the life that God has got for you, promised for you, planned for you, one that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. It's an incredible life. Well, that said, let's get back to the theme. Praise God. My Father's house. Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of... Good. Praise God. Some of you know your Bibles. That's awesome. My Father's house will be a house of? How many of you know, if you're a believer, a follower of Christ, a Christian, prayer should be part of your life. If prayer is not part of your life, you have no relationship with God. Now, you might be like, that's harsh. No, that's true. How many of you know, if I don't talk to my wife, it won't be long and our relationship is going to break down. We need to communicate. Prayer is simply communicating with the Father. That's why Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. The psalmist wrote, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. You'll find that as we go through 2020, that God's word, the Bible, is full, absolutely full, has so much to say about our Father's house or my Father's house. And if we would listen to what God says and then put it into practice, how many of you know that this year in the future might be looked back upon as being the year that we embraced our best life? How many of you know God has got a best life for you? How many of you know you enter into that best life by hearing the word of God and then putting it into practice? How many of you know that hearing the word of God is not the same as putting it into practice? How many of you have got children? How many of you speak to your children? How many of you know they heard what you said? How many of you know they don't do it? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's like just because we hear the word of God doesn't mean we're putting it into practice. If you want areas of your life to get better, hear the word of God and put it into practice. If you've got a marriage and that it's got struggles, can I encourage you? The answer is not divorce. The answer is to hear what the word of God says and put it into practice. You know what I know about marriage couples when they get married? Typically, when they get married, they're in love. Would that be true? If you're not in love on the day you're going to get married, can I encourage you, do not get married. If you're engaged, if you're like this young guy up here that's engaged to the 15-year-old, the 22-year-old, the 27-year-old, and the 34-year-old, if you're like this guy and it's like you realize I'm about to get married but I'm not in love, do not get married. Do not run for your life because it's too late on the other side. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be waking up every morning trying to chew your arm off to escape when to get out there without waking up. You don't want to do that. No, 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 no. Here's the thing. If you want your marriage to go well, you hear the word of God and you put it into practice. Hear the word of God. Sometimes we talk to all sorts of people about all sorts of stuff. They hear the word of God, but they don't put it into practice. You got to put it into practice. If you've got a family and your family's got all sorts of issues going on, can I encourage you? Hear what the Bible says about family and put it into practice. When it comes to finances, you want your finances to go better this year? Hear the word of God and put it into practice. If you want your dreams to become your reality, hear the word of God, put them into practice. If you want your best life to come from heaven to earth this year, hear the word of God and put it into Practice, 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 practice. We need to put it in the practice that we might embrace our best life now. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 4, says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones." How many of you know you are like living stones? How many? That's what Scripture says. Turn to the person beside you this morning and say, "Good morning, stone." Turn to the person you like least on the other side and say, "Good morning, Rocky." "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." If there's one thing that I'm so, so grateful for, it's that when I had a revelation of Christ, God gave me another revelation from day one. Some people, they'll spend their whole Christian life wandering but never realize the second revelation. I had a revelation of Christ, and the second revelation that I got when I received Christ, I got to tell you, it has helped me become the man I am today. It has helped shape the life that I have today. And I promise you this, if you will embrace the revelation that I'm about to talk about now, it will change your life and you'll begin to embrace your best life now. It's a simple revelation that revealed to me that my best life, everyone say, my best life. This revelation revealed that my best life would be both found and lived in my Father's house. My best life has been both found and lived in my Father's house. Friends, I want to encourage you today, your best life will be both found and lived within your Father's house. If you believe it, give God praise right about now. Because for some of you, this year is the year it's like, I fight, the light is going to come on and you're going to get it. Now, for those of you who may be new to church or new to Christ, it's vital that you understand that as we talk about our Father's house, we're not talking about the buildings. All right, have you got that? Because some people, so many people think church, think building. It's the wrong way of thinking. The building is the building. We thank God for our buildings. We thank God for all of your generous offerings that we might have buildings. But our buildings are simply to facilitate, to house the work of the ministry. Because how many of you know, it's you that's important. It's not the walls. It's you that's important. It's not the screens. It's you that's important. It's not the roof. No, no, no. It is you. So we thank God for the buildings, but the buildings are temporal, but the church is eternal. How many of you know you are the church? Some of you are starting to work it out. It's like, okay. So when we talk about our Father's house, are you saying then we're not talking about the building, the church building? No, we're not talking about that because that's not our Father's house. He doesn't delight in the building, he delights in you. He doesn't delight in the building, he delights in his body. He doesn't delight in the building, he delights in his bride. You are what God gets excited about, and hopefully so are we. All that said, hopefully we're working it out. It's not about the building, it's about our Father's house. And we, it's us, it's you, it's me together that are our Father's house. Now, Peter says in verse 5 of the second chapter of his letter here that you also, like living stones. Notice it doesn't say stone. You also like living stone. It doesn't say stone, it says stones. Everyone say stones. Stones. Some of you used to get stoned. That's not what we're talking about. All right, not stoned, stones. Stone, no. Stones, yes. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This scripture is so in keeping with the whole counsel of God's word that God would join us together for his own purposes. Now hear that, God would join us together. Everyone say together. Together. Now, don't look at me like that. Some of you struggle to get that word out, I know. Everyone say together. God wants to bring us into a house that together, not just you by yourself. No. No, God wants you to work together, that we together, that the body of Christ together. God wants to bring us together. He wants to join us together for his own purposes that are going to be at work in us and are going to be at work through us. Everyone say in us. Everyone say through us. How many of you know God has got purposes for your life that are to be at work in you and also to be at work through you? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more and more and more in every way like Christ. We should just savor that for a moment. How many of you know the reality is this is the goal of our faith right here, that we would be made more and more and more and more like Christ. Now, we have many goals as a church. We want to save the world and everybody else on the planet's out there as well. We want to save the trees, the dolphins, the donkeys and the whales. We want to save them all. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. There's a whole lot in our heart to do. But at the end of the day, what we want to do most of all is become like Christ. How many of you would like your spouse to be a little bit more Christ-like? Georgie, keep your hand down. Keep your hand down. How many of you would like your spouse to be a little more Christ-like? No one's putting up their hand. You chickens, chickens, bark, 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 bark. I think we would all like our wife to be a wife. All right, I'm back to the couch. Whatever. Get those ugly dogs off my couch. I'm coming in. All right. I think we'd all like our spouses. Come on, baby. Would you like your spouse to be more like Jesus? Now I would, she said. We would all like our spouses to be more like Christ. We would all like our children to be more like Christ. And our children would all like their parents to be more like Christ. We would all like each other to be more like Christ. But how many of you know at the end of the day, that's really whatever. But at the end of the day, I am responsible for me and I'm responsible for my heart. I'm responsible to be the man of God that God is calling me to be. And I want to be more like Jesus. Anybody else here want to be more like Jesus? More like Jesus? Becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body? The church. Under his direction, according to scripture here, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Perfectly. Now, I wish you could see what I could see, because I see perfection at work. Now, I say at work because I wouldn't say we are perfect, but I'd say we are perfection at work. God is working his perfection in us, and he is bringing us together side by side from all over the world, from all over Australia, from wherever it is that you're from. God has brought you, and now God is bringing us together and linking us and joining us together. What was the word that the scripture used? Perfectly. Perfectly. It's under his direction that he brings us together. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Man, you are a beautiful bunch. You really are. I got to tell you, you're incredible. You're beautiful. And God is at work in you. And he's bringing you and he's fitting you together perfectly. You're sitting beside someone today. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't know them. But understand this, that they are now there to play a role in your life. You might be like, say what? Say what? It's true. We are all here to play a role in each other's lives. You're here to play a role in my life, and I'm here to play a role in your life. God is bringing us together, fitting us together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, as each part. How many of you know now, I'm not talking to the person beside you, I'm talking to you. So, smiley one, praise God. Olivia, smiling her head off, she's laughing away, doing her own special work. Praise God, on the front row. She's going to have an altar call all by herself, just a moment. You go, Olivia. All right, but how many of you know we are all here doing, and we're here for a reason. How many of you know you are here for a reason? How many of you know that when you're not here, we know you're not here? And we talk about you on Tuesday and Wednesday. You're like, for real? Absolutely for real. We know enjoyers. If you're an enjoyer, we know who you are. And you are important to us, and God has put you into this house. God has put you into this body. Therefore, you are important to us. We take our responsibility before the Lord very seriously, and we take our relationship with you very seriously. You are important to us, but you know what? God has brought you into our life because he knows we need you just like you need us. And you have a unique gift. You have a spiritual gift that... And according to scripture here, as each part does its own special work, each part is you. As you do your own special work, it helps the other parts grow. How many of you know what you bring to the table is going to help your brothers and sisters grow in Christ Jesus so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love? How many of you would like to go to a church that is healthy and growing and full of love? Praise God, 19 of you. How many of you would like, this time I'll ask in English, all right? I'll slow down a little bit. How many of you would like to go to a church that is healthy? Healthy?
Yes.
Growing?
Yes.
Full of love?
Yes.
I think we all want to go to that church. I think we are that church, but I think we can still grow. I think we are that church, but I don't think we've entered into our best life yet. I think we are that church, but I think there's still more to come in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So my best life can only and will only ever be discovered as I realize my life is no longer my own. How many of you are believers in Christ Jesus? How many of you are saved, you're on your way to heaven? Give me a wave. How many of you understand your life is not your own? Yes. say what? Your life is not your own. Some of us like, I want to be alive in Christ and alive to the old guy as well. How many of you know the old guy was meant to die that you might be alive in Christ? Now Paul said, the life I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. I live now to bring him glory. I live now to bring him honor. I live now to bring him praise. Where do I do that? I do that in the house of God. Now that I'm in Christ, my best life can only be discovered as I realized I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and I live to bring God glory in my Father's house. Now, being a disciple of Christ, you've already raised your hand, but I'll ask you again, how many of you are disciples? You consider yourself a disciple of Christ. Less hands going up. Praise God. All right. It's like, hey, what's going on here? It's like, no, this is the first day back. We're getting ready for a great year. How many of you want a great year? How many of you want more beer? How many of you want a great year? Less beer, great year. All right. All right. Got that covered now. Got it covered. All right. Being a disciple of Christ requires me to understand that I am a required part of the body of Christ. How many of you believe that you are a required part of the body of Christ? I think one of the great troubles is we don't renew our minds when we come to Christ. Therefore, we don't understand who we are in Christ. Therefore, we think that whether we're in church or not in church, it doesn't matter. Whether we bring to the table what God has given us or not, it doesn't matter. But friends, I want to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. You are important to the body of Christ. How many of you would think if Georgie and I didn't turn up, it would impact church? Give me a wave if you believe that. If Georgie and I didn't turn up, it would impact church. How many of you believe that if you did not turn up, it would impact church? How many of you know it's true? I promise you this. You might feel like, oh, I'm just, you're not just anything. You're a child of God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God that God has planted in the house. And what you bring to the table is as important as what I bring to the table. How many of you know? And so I need to send out an apology to all the guys that are in our productions team because I got to our 3 points at the end of the service, the first service, and I'm like, where are the points? They didn't have the points. And I'm like, hey, where are the points? They didn't have the points, but then I realized I didn't do the points until last night, so I didn't send them. sorry. Praise God. I'm surprised I even have sound today. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised I didn't walk into a dark room and everyone's gone, but whatever. But here's the thing. How many of you know what they do is as important as what I do because I can't do what I do without them. I could do one service and my voice would be gone, but they make it happen. Let's give it up for the production team because they're incredible. Sorry. All right, moving right along. All right, so we're all required. Being a disciple of Christ requires me to understand that I'm a vital part of the body. That God has uniquely gifted me so that when I play my part, the whole body might be healthy, growing, and full of love. Being a disciple of Christ requires me to understand that when I came to Christ, I became, as it were, a living stone. And as a living stone, God is building me into a spiritual house that together we might become a royal priesthood or a holy priesthood who offer spiritual sacrifices which are pleasing to God. Now, if I'm going to live my best life, I've got these revelations now, but if I'm going to live my best life, I need to realize God has got a plan and a purpose for my life. How many of you really believe that God has got a plan and a purpose for your life? All right. Understand this then. You will never reach or fulfill the plan and the purpose God has got for you apart from the house of God. Now, you might be like, oh, you've got to say that. You're a pastor. You want to sort of be there. No. You missed the point. Go back to Scripture. Go back to the Word. It all begins in your relationship with Jesus and the body of Christ. This is where true life begins, when we have a revelation of who God is and who we are in Him. And if we're in Him, we're in His body, we're in His house, we're in His church, etc., etc. I need to understand my best life and the plans and the purposes God has got for me will be realized as I lean into the house of God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How many of you would like some more hope? All right, lean into the plans of God. How many of you would like a future, like a glorious future? Your best life now. How many of you would like that? Lean into the plans of God. Because God has a plan for me, He'll plant me in His house where He desires to plant me. Did you hear that? Because God has got a plan for your life, He will plant you in His house where He desires to plant you. It's interesting because we see people come and go, but they are absent in their thinking of where does God want me to be, because the plans that God has got for me will flourish if I allow Him to plant me where He wants to plant me. How many of you know He will knit you into the body of Christ where He wants you to be knitted? How many of you know He will build you into His house where He wants to position you? Why does He do this? Why does He plant people? Why does He knit people? Why does He build people where He wants them to be? Because He knows who and what they need in their life. That's the bottom line. God knows the plans He has for you, and He knows the people that you need in your life. He knows what you need in your life to fulfill the perfect will, plans of God that God has got for you. This is where we need to trust God. Everyone say, trust God. This is where we need to trust God. Trust God. I need you in my life. You need me in your life. Have you ever noticed that the scripture says that we are being built into a spiritual house that we might be a priesthood? Why doesn't it say priest? Why doesn't it say God wants to build us into His house that we might be a priest? Because you were never meant to be a priest by yourself. You're meant to be part of a priesthood. It's something we do together. Everyone say together. That's it. Let it flow now. Let it flow. Together. Everyone say together. Some people say, together. No, not like that. Let it go now. Let it go. How many of you have been offended in church? Let it go. How many of you have had a bad leader? Let it go. How many of you? No, don't say that, Shane. It's first day back. Don't offend too many today. Let it go. How many of you know you've got to let it go? Everyone say, let it go. Let it go. You got to let it go. Got to let it go. God wants us to do it together. Some of you are like, I don't do anything with everybody else. I'm a self-made man. I'll do it the way I want to do it. But it's not working. I don't know if your family told you, but it's not working. I don't know if the business team at your business told you it's not working. I don't know if the people in your... It ain't working. I'd have no problem saying, yeah, do it that way if it was in keeping with the Word of God. But if it ain't working, it ain't working. And if it ain't working, let it go. Everyone say, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You're meant to be part of a priesthood. Together. We do it together. The only way I can find my place in my Father's house is together. I found my place and I'm finding my place in my Father's house. But I'm not here by myself. I'm surrounded by people. I choose to surround myself with people. It's like, you might be like, it's because you're a people guy. No, it's because I'm a Jesus guy. And if I'm a Jesus guy, understand he'll put me amongst people. The only way I can find my place there, the only way I can become part of the holy priesthood is together. I'm not called to be a priest by myself, but I'm called to be part of a priesthood. So when I allow Christ to build me into my Father's house where he would desire to build me, it's so that together I might lay hold of my best life now. I can't reach for or access my best life by myself. I need you and you need me. This is how we enter into our best life. Anyone who has got any sort of building background, are there any builders in the house, people that have got a building background? Just out of curiosity, got a couple. So if you're a builder and you're around house building, you would understand brickwork. How many of you live in a house? Give me a wave if you live in a house or ever been to a house. Praise God. How many of you have driven past? Anybody driven past a house? All right, so we've driven past, a few of us driven past. You would have seen brickwork like that. That's bad brickwork, by the way, but you would have seen brickwork just like that. The first thing that God does when you come alive in him, how many of you know, he doesn't, you don't come alive in Christ and he just walks away. It's not meant to be like that. When you come alive in Christ, he takes you and he goes bang and he puts you, he builds you. Oh, there he is. He builds you into the spiritual house, just like that, bang. He didn't leave you. He doesn't leave you for 6 years and come back around. Now, how many of you know Phil Pringle is an artist? Well, he says he's an artist. He's probably never seen work like that before. Huh? Nothing like that over poached eggs, I can tell you. Praise God. And so, but God, because he loves you, you come alive in him. He doesn't leave you because you're a newborn babe. You need caring for. You need to be looked after. You need spiritual milk and you need to start growing. So he'll grab you and he'll plant you into the house of God. He's going to build for him a spiritual house. How many of you have ever noticed the first thing God does, whether you like it or not, the first thing God does when you come alive in him is he surrounds you with people. Everyone say people. How many of you like people? Give me a wave if you like people. Praise God. Give me a wave if you don't like people. I promise you, all over this room, there are people here. Don't like would not be maybe the right way to say it. Although some of you probably don't like people. Give me a wave if you're a people person. Give me a wave if you're happy with yourself in your own company. All right. I say to people all the time, don't expect from Georgie what you get from me. It ain't ever gonna happen. It ain't ever gonna happen. When 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, when I started going to the Philippines, I would go for 2 or 3 weeks. How many times do you think Georgie would ring me in that 2 or 3 week period? How many times do you think she would text me? She figured, I'm okay. He's okay. I tell people all the time, if I went down to get milk, I could be gone for 5 days. 5 days. And then on day 6, I might get a text that says, hey, Shaney boy, have you got the milk? So we're not quite the same. But you know what I love about Georgie? Is what I love about Georgie. She hasn't used the fact that she's happy with her own company as an excuse to disconnect from the body of Christ. That's what I appreciate about my wife. Because it's like, yeah, I may be happy with my own company, but I know I need, not just want, I want to. That's why I turned up the church last week. Sorry, George, James, whatever your name is. Sorry, George. I'm good with people. Sorry, Jimmy. Hey, baby, I'm going to get some milk. 2 services later, whatever. We need each other. Don't just want each other. We need each other. God's plan is for you to have other people in your life. God's plan for me is to have other people in my life. That's the way God planned it. So we find ourselves now grafted into the house of God. God builds us into his house. And straight away, he surrounds us with people. It's his desire. Why? So that we might have support. How many of you could do some more support? Anyone need a man's ear while we're here? Praise God. Moving right along. Some of you are like, did he say what I thought he said? I said it. All right. Support. We all need support. That's why God put me towards the top of the wall, because I need lots of support these days. What else are we going to get? We're going to get covering. How many of you know authority has got a real bad rap on planet Earth and within the life of the church? And I can understand it. But I can promise you this, godly covering is something we all should desire, because godly covering will protect us. Godly covering will pray for us. Godly covering will give us wise counsel. Godly covering has got our back. We all should desire covering. So we get support, we get covering, and what else do we get? We get encouragement. God wants to position you in places and spaces where you are supported, where you're encouraged, and where you have a covering. Now, this is why we encourage everyone not just to be in church, but to be in a friendship group and to find an area to serve as well. How many of you know in that space, you're going to have people all around you that are going to be there to support you, encourage you, and cover you? If you want your best life, you want to surround yourself with the right people that are going to be a blessing to you and help you reach your goals in Christ. Now, there's a lot of people who come to Christ. They're happy for Jesus. I like the Jesus factor. Just don't get me to connect with people. You don't get Jesus without people. Full stop. You might be like, can I phone a friend? You don't have any friends, because you're isolated yourself. If you're in friendship group, you'd have friends. You don't get Jesus without people. I know a lot of people, they want Jesus, but they don't want people. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. We are the body of Christ, members that are joined together. We are the house of God. We are bricks that are knit together, built together. We are the body of Christ, knit together perfectly as God would put us together, so that we all might encourage and build one another. This is how it works. So, today's sermon is a three-point sermon, and I haven't even got to point one. Are you ready for point one? How many of you have got something to take notes on? If you can take notes, I can promise you I can be wrapped up in 3 minutes. It's like, this is a strange three-point sermon. You write this down and get ready to embrace your best life in 2020. I promise you, if you will hear it and do it, you're about to step into a new era. Are you ready? Here we go. Point number one, my best life will be enjoyed as a result of being built into my Father's house. My best life will come as a result of being built into my Father's house. Now, how many of you got bricks around your house or on your house at home? Have you ever gone home and noticed two or three bricks have hopped out the wall and run off? Have you ever seen that? How many of you know it doesn't happen and it's not meant to happen? When God builds you in, you're meant to be in. Stay in. Stay in. Now, the enemy, how many of you know you have an enemy? It's called the devil. He's very real. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill your family. He wants to destroy you. He wants to bring division and offense into our midst, amongst you. Why does he want you to do that? Because he wants you to be the brick in the wall that is no longer there. How many of you know the psalmist wrote, all in all, you're just another brick in the wall, but you are not just another brick in the wall. You are known by God, you are positioned by God, and that is your place in the house of God. And God is looking for you to remain there. The enemy wants to bring offense so that you get offended and step out. The enemy wants to bring division that you get offended and step away. When that opportunity comes, just say, I choose not to be offended. Jesus said offenses will come. What do we do when offenses come? We choose to forgive. We forgive. You can't keep running every time you get offended. You got to forgive. Forgive? All right, I'm here. I know what I'm meant to be doing. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep... I'm here. I'm not moving. I'm not going to be the brick that runs... You know what I'm saying? All right, so I find my future in my Father's house. Point number two, my best life will require me to surround myself relationally within my Father's house. Can I encourage you, if you are not in a friendship group, this year, be part of a friendship group. You say, I'm too busy, I don't need it. You need it. I need it. We all need it. We all need each other. If you think that you can do life without having the right people in your life, you're not thinking right. You're like, that's harsh. No, that's the truth. We all need each other. When you think you're the smartest man in the room, you ain't the smartest man in the room. I tell you the truth, there is a wisdom that comes in the collective wisdom of our brothers and sisters. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. We all need each other. So I want to encourage you, surround yourself relationally. Point number three, my best life will be realized as I use the gifts given to me by God to build my Father's house. You know, when I got saved, I was a carpenter, like our Lord and Savior, and I loved building houses. I was enjoying it. I was having a good time. I didn't end up in ministry because I wanted to be in ministry. I just used what I had. I didn't have much. So what did they let me do? Let me set up the chairs. I got to set up the chairs. How many of you know if you don't get the chairs straight, you will not change the world? You got to get the chair straight. Get the laser, get the line, get it all right. How many of you know I went from there to the door? Hey! Can I encourage you? Some of you are like, I would like to do something, but I don't know what my gift is. Just start doing something. If you do it really well, you'll be celebrated. If you do it really bad, you'll be promoted somewhere else. You don't need a doctorate to be on the door. You just need a smile and a handshake and to put the knife down. Welcome to church. No, put the knife down. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I want to encourage you, just lean in. Lean in. Understand your best life will come as a result of being built into your Father's house. Your best life will come as a result of being surrounded relationally. Your best life will begin to be realized as you begin to use the gifts God's given you.